Today on Real Radio.
We went to a movie because I wanted to hear this message that I was hearing from people. This is such an anti-Christian message, so I wanted to go see this message. So I went, and it's just absolutely, whoever wrote this movie has got a real God complex.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 is a section that provides valuable insight into the various gifts believers have received and exercised for Messiah's glory, and their functions and purposes for the edification of his followers. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
We are gathered here together, and we're going to take to heart this admonition to seek the Lord about the gift of the discerning of spirits, or we're going to blow it off and think, well, that's for somebody else, or it's really not needed. Listen, there's false prophets today like never before. We have false gospels like never before. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul said there, now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, by the way, expressly says that in the latter times, that's us now, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The Bible says that in the last days, false doctrines will come. They will be demonic in nature. I was standing in Russia. I praise the Lord for the opportunities. Many times, we had the chance to talk to Mormons in Russia, and I know that a few of us did. And John Miller had shared something with me that he was sharing with a couple of Mormon missionaries, and I thought that was so excellent that I began to use it. And at one point in time, there were some Mormon missionaries up ahead of us going up an escalator, and I saw them from behind. And the way I identified them is their beautiful, perfect haircut, and their very perfect pressed white, brilliant white shirts. And we had just stepped on the metro escalator. If you know what I'm talking about, it's like four, five, six stories up. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know how many feet it's in the ground. And I saw those guys, and I started running up those steps. And I got all the way up there, and I go, I mean, I was dying. Excuse me. And they turn around, and they go, what? And I said, can you wait a minute? Will you wait a minute? Yeah. And we got off, and I'm, okay, you know what? How you doing? Doing fine. How's it going? The evangelism and all. How's it going? Ah, it's really tough. Are you having a hard time them accepting the gospel to the Americas? I would imagine it's kind of tough here. Yeah, it's really hard. But you know what? I mean, we're hanging in there. Oh, okay, that's great. Well, listen, I don't believe in your message. And they go, well, what are you doing? I said, listen, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Ohio, and this guy was from, I forget where, Seattle. And I said, okay, I'm from Chino Hills. And listen, I know where you're coming from, and I know what you're telling the people. But either the Bible is right, or you're right. Because what you teach, I know what you teach, is not biblical. I hope you understand that. I'm sure you do. But the fact of the matter is, it's either one way or the other. Someone's right and someone's wrong. Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. I know what I used to say. I know what you say now. And the fact of the matter is, if we're going to embrace your message, the fact is, Jesus now is either wrong or you're wrong. Because he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And the Latter-day Saints say that the devil did, because there were no faiths, there were no churches to join when Joseph Smith came along. And so another one had to be created. And so Jesus is a loser, or Joseph Smith is. Who do you think is? And they said, you know, we're just going to have to think about that. And I said, you know, you think real good. Because someone's right and someone's wrong. And I walked away. We left them. And we had a chance to say that to a lot of them. I love them. Oh, if you love them, you just let them do their thing. No, if I love them, I'd pull them out of the house that they're in that's burning. Someone's right and someone's wrong. How do you know? How will you know? How do you know? Often by the discerning of spirits. Now, generally to the body of Jesus Christ at large, the moment you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you are sealed, says Ephesians 1, by the Holy Spirit. At that moment, 1 John tells you that you now have the anointing from the Holy Spirit or of the Holy Spirit. It means He presides in you. And the Bible goes on to say that He will teach you all truth. He will teach all things to you. The Holy Spirit will. So the fact of the matter is this. The Bible in our hearts, as we have it in our hearts, a brand new believer even can hear a false doctrine. And immediately they know, this is wrong. Man will come up with his message, and a brand new believer, they'll start to get all, hey, wait, something doesn't fit. It is so neat. They'll call the church and we'll talk to them, you know, during the week or whatever. Brand new believer. You know what? Somebody knocked on my door and they handed me this magazine called The Awake. And I just didn't like the way it felt in my hand. Brand new believer. They can't pull out one verse. And you just go, man, the Lord lives in your heart. Because it's the Holy Spirit saying, Now, there's a general discernment that God gives to every Christian that is not the discerning of spirits. A little bit of background. Jesus performed a lot of miracles. Often, many of them were satanic or demonic in nature. In Matthew 4, 24, listen to this. In Matthew 4, 24, it says, Then his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with, number one, various diseases, and, number two, torments, and those who were, number three, demon-possessed, and, number four, epileptics, and, number five, paralytics, and he healed them. Some of them were physically crippled. He healed them. Some of them had actually a brain problem with epilepsy, where there was the brain deficiency, the misconnect, and there's an epileptic seizure. Jesus healed them. There were those who were very, very much tormented emotionally, under almost or at the brink of insanity. Jesus touched them. Then there's the ones who were demon-possessed. And he healed them all. Did Jesus know in the midst of all these situations, did Jesus know what he was doing and to whom he was ministering to? Absolutely. In Acts chapter 16, verse 17, Luke records there an encounter with a young slave girl that was following Paul and the team. And she cried out saying, now listen, they're on an evangelistic outreach, okay? They're moving along and there's this young girl, she's a slave, and she's crying out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. That's her message. Any problem with the message? No problem with the message at all. There's a problem with the messenger. Listen to this. Can you imagine? Look, you're traveling with Paul. Put yourself right there. All you know, all you and Luke and Silvanus and the rest of you guys know, you're walking with Paul. And there's a girl back there, and it says in the scripture for days she had been doing this. These people are preaching the word of God. And she's just, attention please, these people, and she's like a big mouth loud horn thing, you know? So they're walking along, and listen to this. What do you think about this, if this would have happened to you? Paul then was greatly annoyed. And he turned to the Spirit, little s, Spirit, and said, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. Can you imagine walking along? These guys preach salvation in Jesus Christ. Paul turns around and says, I command you to come out of her now. Gee, what's wrong, Paul? Gee whiz, a little edgy today or what? Paul was discerning. Jesus was discerning. Paul was discerning. There was something wrong here. The message was fine. The messenger was way off. She was possessed by an evil spirit. Well, yeah, Jesus, fine. Paul, yeah. Well, I'm not a Jesus and I'm not a Paul. What about us? Well, listen to this. The same demonic and satanic powers that were affecting the life of Jesus Christ in his ministry and Paul the Apostle in his ministry, those same demonic and satanic powers are alive today. They're in the earth today. They're not on vacation. I know we want to sweep them underneath the, you know, carpet and pretend these powers don't exist. They do exist. And in fact, are you ready for this? They will get worse and worse right here in America, right here in our own backyard, the more and more we turn our back on Jesus Christ as a nation. The more and more we slack off from following and loving God, the Bible teaches this throughout history, that a nation left really to itself and has no position with God will go astray. It will become pagan in its conduct and activity. America is approaching that position. You can't kill babies. You can't legalize the things that we do and expect God to bless America. He won't do it. I believe we're living on old prayers, old blessings. I think America needs to repent from what it's doing as a nation. Can you imagine if all the Christians were raptured out of here today, what would pass in the state and federal governments the next day? Or what would transpire just in the spiritual realm itself? The Bible teaches these demonic powers will come in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times. But what about us? Are we left alone in this last century, in these days? No, we're not. Listen, you know this verse very well. Yes, it's true, we're not a Jesus and we're not a Paul, but listen to this. Jesus said in John 14:16, I will pray to the Father and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And I love verse 18. I will not leave you orphaned or comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus accomplishes his work today, now, today, and his desires by living in us, by the person of the Holy Spirit. And he gives the gift of the discerning of spirits. First thing, under what is the discerning of spirits, let's look at the definition from Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 12:10, where you're at right now, it says the discerning of spirits. You should circle the word discerning because it means so very much. You might want to jot down the definition here. The word in the Greek means to judge thoroughly through something, to judge all the way through. It means to start at one point and go all the way through to the other end until you've uncovered every bit of evidence. The word also means to separate thoroughly, getting to the source. The word discern is to probe or to pry down into something. In some of your Bibles, it might even have the word to be discriminating in a godly sense. Discrimination in a godly way, a proper way. One Bible scholar defined it this way: the divine ability to sense or to detect spiritual opposition that is directed towards someone or to the body at large. A divine ability to sense. Listen, the gift of the discernment of spirits is both a defensive and offensive gift. I'll explain this in a moment. In fact, why don't you turn to Luke 4 and we'll look at it in its defensive sense. The gift of discerning spirits, Luke 4, and it is verse 33. Listen to this. It can be used to protect against evil. We know this right now. The discerning of spirits is the probing through of the spirit, or to get down to the spiritual realm in a matter, to uncover the facade or the situation and get to the source. And in a defense mode to protect the body against evil, look at Luke 4:33. He says right here, "Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?'" Now, this is the Spirit speaking. "Did you come to destroy us? I know you and who you are. You are the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, he came out of him and did not hurt him. Now Jesus, here discerning that this man had an evil spirit, went on the defensive. This guy is in the synagogue. Can you imagine? That's like saying that he's right here in church tonight. It's the same difference. And Jesus is even there. And so this guy who's demon-possessed comes in. And Jesus begins to deal with him on the defensive mode to protect the body. It's very important. Turn now to Matthew chapter 8. You'll see an example of the offensive use of this gift. Matthew 8, 28. "And when he had come to the other side," this is a wonderful story of the country of the Gergesenes or Gadara, the same area there, Gennesaret. "There met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?'" Isn't that amazing how they knew him? "Now a good way off from there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, 'If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine.' And he said to them, 'Go.' So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water." Here's a manifestation of Jesus taking the offensive mode. If you keep reading down to the end, in fact, look at verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 1. "So he got in a boat and crossed over and came back to his own city." Jesus gets in a boat. Talk about offensive attack. Using the discerning of spirits and then many other powers, Jesus gets in a boat. He goes, it's about 7.5 miles, I think it is, across on the other side. He gets out, and right there when you get out of the boat is the hillside. There's still this tomb that they've kept. And then if you're standing right there, the only place in the entire lake is a little bit over. If you look back at the lake from this tomb and this graveyard, you look over to your left, and about 150 yards away is the only place in the entire Lake of Galilee where there's a steep hill that if you went over there and started walking down, you would tumble and crash into the water. It's the only spot. So you know that's the spot. Jesus gets in the boat, goes over there, deals with this guy to set the man free. The demons go in the pigs, run off into the cliff. Jesus gets back in the boat and goes back to the side of Tiberias over there. I like that. He goes through all of that just for one person on the offensive. He's discerning. Jesus knew that on the other side was this man. In fact, there were two guys, if you read all the Gospels, and it's mentioned here in Matthew, but the fact of the matter is, they were well known, and Jesus went there to deliver. The discerning of spirits, very important. Does every Christian have this gift? I believe the answer to that is no, but I think we should all pray and ask. I think it's a sovereign gift given independently, or individually, I should say, by the Holy Spirit. Not to be confused with the general discernment that we spoke about earlier. If you want a scripture reference to that general discernment, by the way, it was 1 John 2:27. We mentioned it earlier. And 1 Corinthians 12:8, the Bible says concerning that, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and so on regarding the gifts of the Spirit," down to verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12. And I like that because that means we need one another. The second point we want to see tonight is, why is the gift needed today? Why is the gift needed today? Because first of all, the body needs to be protected in defense against deception. We are being deceived today like never before, I think, in human history. Not only the church is under the attack of deception, but we are seeing people in the world being deceived by the most ridiculous things. And then I think some by the most spectacular things. I went and saw a movie the other night. Now, every time I do this, my wife like cringes. Don't even. We went to a movie because I wanted to hear this message that I was hearing from people. This is such an anti-Christian movie. It's such an anti-Christian message. So I wanted to go see this message that was in this movie. So I went, and it's just absolutely, whoever wrote this movie has got a real God complex. They're afraid to death that one God exists. Because when you come to the end of the movie, it's forget one God. I think we all can be gods, or we're going to be rescued by gods that live on other planets. And it's okay. Don't need to worry. And I thought, you know, when I'm sitting in that theater, I don't know if this has ever happened in a movie. I felt my discernment meter turn on. It just went boom. And I sat there through that movie and it went. And when I came out of that movie, I felt depressed. I felt spiritually oppressed. I felt like I had listened to 2 hours and 25 minutes of a false doctrine message presentation. And that's exactly what it was. It was the New Age gospel. And what a pulpit! Every theater around the world in Dolby Sound. What a pulpit. Don't believe in one God. There are many. In fact, in one of the scenes, you had to be watching for it. Someone had a sign. By the way, all the Christians in the movie look like idiots. Somebody had a sign and it said, Jesus is an alien in this movie. And that's exciting because you're going to be hearing more and more about that in the next several months or so, about Jesus being an alien. Where do people come up with this? Doctrines of demons.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called United in the Gifts. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Well, coming up in February here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is the annual Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference, and Pastor Jack is here in studio to let us know that there's been a major development. Pastor Jack?
Mike, that is absolutely correct. And this is vital. It is breaking news. And listen, to all of you who are thinking about coming to the conference, our original fee for this conference to make it viable, to make it work, was $50 a ticket for this 3-day event. But in light of the global crisis and what's taking place and all of the events that are starting to come together, we prayed about it here at Calvary Chapel, and we're going to trust the Lord. We're deleting that price, Mike. It's free. It's open to the public. We want as many people here hanging out the building as possible to get these incredible teachings into their hearts. And so it is vital. All of you, make note, the $50 registration is waived. No registration needed. Be here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills as we host the Southern California Prophecy Conference. In fact, listen to this. The subtitle of the conference is Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. How fitting is that? You can get more information about that at SoCalProphecyConference.com. That's SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll want to attend this free event for your faith. God bless you.
Okay, so again, SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us toll-free if you'd like for more information. 877-RR Radio. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.